Ladies and gentlemen, welcome and good evening. Sorry, good evening and welcome to our INWIT third quarter 2016 financial results conference call.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Our CEO, Mr. Oscar Cecchetti, and our CFO, Raffaele Perrino, will provide you with an update on our year-to-date operating and financial performance. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. Please do take note of our disclaimer policy. You should now be available to see on slide 2. Let me highlight that the reported data refer to the consolidated financial statement at September 30, 2016, including the Brescia company's contribution. And since INWIT is a company incorporated on April 1st, we can compare our data with the historical only on a quarterly basis. Moving to slide 3, let me show you the main industrial and financial goals we achieved. First of all, our third quarter 2016 result confirmed that we are once again fully on track with our plan. The tenancy ratio increased and now stands at 1.70 times, well on track compared to the 1.9 times target for the full year 2018. The EBITDA recorded in the 9 months 2016 accounted for 100 million 21, comparing the current quarterly result of 41.7 million of euro with the same period of 2015, we reported a 15% increase. And let me remind you of our low teens EBITDA target for the 2015-18 period. Moreover, while paving the way for the future of the company, we witnessed a good start for our ambition business acceleration plan, and just one quarter since it launched, now we have over control. 56% of the planned new site, 25% of the small cell target, and 10% of the backhauling links. Let me now leave the floor to Mr. Cecchetti, who will drive you through the key highlight of our third quarter 2016 result. After that, Mr. Perrino will provide you with an in-depth analysis of our year-to-date financial result. I will now hand over to Oscar.
Thank you, Michele. And good evening, everybody. The key message of our third quarter results is that our double-digit growth plan is on track. Let's now go through our third quarter 2016 top-line performance, slide number 5. In detail, revenues amounted to 83.9 million, of which 76% come from the master service agreement with TIM. Another 0.7 million come from the new sites that are already up and running, and the remaining 19.9 million come from other tenants other than TIM. In the lower part of the slide, you find a comparison with the third quarter 2015 and the 2014 average quarter. As you can see, the growth is due to third-party revenues and revenues related to new sites. Third-party revenues totaled a plus 20.7% versus the third quarter 2015 and the plus 35.5% versus the 2014 average quarter. Revenues from new sites were 0.7 million in the quarter. Please note that TIM revenues linked to the MSA are flat because the escalator will be factored in from 2017 onwards. On the next slide, slide number 6, you can see the details about the drivers of this revenue growth, new tenants and new sites. In terms of new tenants on the left, the chart shows that in the third quarter of 2016 we managed to add approximately 500 new tenants to our portfolio, also including a couple of hundred IoT tenants bringing the tenancy ratio to 1.7. In the first 9 months of this year, we totaled 1,100 new tenants, 55% of which related to the MSA obligations undertaken by TIM. Here, the new tenants we had foreseen have materialized as expected, and 45% come from our commercial activities, where we are more than on track with our plan. Let me remind you that the tenancy ratio, the 1.7, compares very positively with the initial 1.55, and we remain fully committed to delivering our 1.9 target by 2018. On the right side, instead, there is a summary of the new sites. Here we went another step forward and reached 87 sites, new sites in 2016. Yet I invite you to focus on what will happen in the near future, as we see more than 500 build-to-suit opportunities in 2016-2018 timeframe. And as a matter of fact, 230 additional new sites have already been requested by TIM. Now let's move to the other. We had a technical problem.
Okay, we are sorry for the inconvenience. You can go ahead, please.
Okay, I simply changed the micro. So I was saying that I want to move to the other key feature of our story, the efficiency plan. The next two slides, 7 and 8, illustrate the efficiencies achieved to date. On slide number 7, you can see the third quarter total OPEX amount to 42.2 million, with a 3.2% decline year on year, and roughly 8% decline compared to 2013 average quarter. A substantial reduction has been achieved on ground lease costs, 6.6% year on year and 10.8% versus the average quarter of 2014. This result, the reduction of ground lease cost, is due to the positive impact of our efficiency plan on ground lease cost and to the decommissioning. Note that the total amount of 35.4 million also include the incremental ground lease costs for the new sites. These benefits have been slightly offset by both operating cost and personnel cost. In particular, the operating cost increase is fully linked to the business enlargement, and it remained stable at approximately 6% of the total revenues. The rise in personnel cost is driven by the scheduled headcount increase. In fact, the headcount went from 70 units of financial year 2015 to the current 83. We are talking about headcount, so let me also remark that from October the 1st, 2016, INWIT changed its organization and created the business support function headed by Mrs. Silvia Ponzoni. Silvia is a manager that comes from TIM with a background, a solid background in auditing, finance and administration in both domestic and international organization. Silvia directly reports to the CEO. Let's now take a look at slide number 8, showing the efficiencies achieved with respect to ground lease cost. In this slide, we provide you with an overview of the pillars that contributed to the cost reduction: decommissioning, renegotiation, and acquisition. Looking at our 9,500 sites, We have, I'm excluding the sites that we have from TIM, we have 1,400 included in TIM's decommissioning plan, from 1,300 to 1,500 targeted in our land acquisition plan, and the remaining roughly 6,100 that we will continue to address with renegotiations. Let me go through those three different items. Decommissioning. We have already dismantled roughly 400 sites. Our effort in this area has been constant with 100 sites per quarter. Now we plan to dismantle an additional 200 sites in the fourth quarter. With reference to land acquisition, we have signed 400 contracts, approximately 100 per quarter, considering both acquisition and long-term right of usage of rooftops. Considering our target to buy 1,300-1,500 parcels of land for the 2015-2018 period, we feel we are in line with our objectives. Finally, renegotiation. In the 9 months of 2016, we renegotiated 600 contracts, of which 66% are pure renegotiation, with a discount that goes from 10% to 20%, and the remaining are cash advance, with a discount, with the higher discount that goes from 30% to 40%. Now, in slide number 9, I want to give you some colors of our business acceleration that we announced last quarter. Overall, I can say that we had a good start, since we already have 56% of projects in progress for the new sites, 25% for the small cell, and 10% for the backhauling. Let me go through those numbers. Let's start with new sites. As I already said, our new target is 500 new sites within 2018. We boost a good start considering that 10% of this target is already of those sites are already under construction, another 22% under negotiation, and 24% are just requested by TIM. In summary, we can say that about 56% of our target could be considered as work in progress. Moving to the small cell, our new target is more than 4,000 remote units within 2018. Considering that 3% of this target of those small cell are under construction, 8% under negotiation, and 14% requested by TIM, we can say that we are already deploying about 25% of our plan. Finally, let's talk about fiber backhauling. Concerning the backhauling connection, we planned to have more than 1,000 sites connected with fiber within 2018. Here we have 6% of the fiber connections already requested and 4% under negotiation. Let me remind you that all our investment efforts will be spread over the 3 years of the plan, as shown at the bottom of the chart, and will translate into a rising EBITDA trend guaranteed by our strict double-digit policy for new investment, double-digit IRR policy for new investment. The last slide is page number 10, where I recap two of the main KPIs that confirm that we are delivering on what we promised. On the left, you can see the meaningful increase in revenues from OLO from operator other than TIM, which achieved a +21% year-on-year increase, going from 16.5 million euro in the third quarter 2015 to 19.9 million euro this last quarter. On the right, we show the positive impact that decommissioning, site renegotiation, and land acquisition had on ground lease cost. The result is visible in the reduction of the quarterly average ground lease, which reached 13,200 euro per side at the end of the third quarter 2016. Now I leave the floor to Rafael Perrino, who will give you a more detailed overview of the third quarter results. Rafael.
Thank you, Oscar, and good evening to you all. We can start with a brief financial overview of the preliminary results for the first 9 months and the third quarter of the year with slide 12. In the 9 months, revenues accounted for 248.8 million euro, and with the OPEX of 127.4 million, the resulting EBITDA is 121.4 million euro. Our net income amounted to 73.7 million, and we have made investments for 21.6 million, without considering the 8.3 million euro dedicated to the acquisition of the Brescia companies. Let me remind you that INWIT started its operation on April last year, hence the September 15 report accounting only for 6 months of operation instead of 9. That's why we now use the third quarter 2016 results that can be compared with the third quarter of 2015. So, in the 3Q16, revenues amounted to 83.9 million. Thus, we reported a good top-line performance with an increase of 5.1% versus the third quarter 2015. In terms of EBITDA, in the 3Q16, we posted a robust increase of 15.2% versus 3Q15, landing at 41.7 million euro. This performance derives from an increase of 5.5 million compared to the third quarter of 2015, which combines the increase of 4.1 million euro in revenues and the reduction of 1.4 million euro of total OPEX. So, let me highlight the fact that, despite our business enlargement, our costs are constantly decreasing. In particular, let me focus on the OPEX components. The lease cost fell by 6.6 year-on-year with a reduction of 2.5 million euro, despite the additional costs due to the new sites built. Personnel cost increased by only 0.3 million year-on-year, mainly due to the increase in the headcount. Other costs increased by another 0.8 million year-on-year, also confirming to be around 6% of revenues. As expected, 3Q16 net financial expenses amounted to 0.9 million euro, aligned to what we reported in the third quarter 2015. During this quarter, taxes were worth 12 million euro, so our net income for the period was of 25.1 million euro, about 15.7% more compared to the 3Q15. This is the highest quarter net income since the company incorporation. With slide 13, we want to draw your attention to our EBITDA margin and how it is composed. As you can see from the slide, the EBITDA margin has always been increasing, starting from 42.9% pro forma 14 and closing at 49.7% in the 3Q16. This strong growth was due to the combined effects of the efficiency plan and tenants increase. The increase in EBITDA generated by the efficiency plan, composed by the site portfolio optimization and ground lease renegotiation, goes from an upside of 0.9% in the second quarter 15 to 3.1% increase in 3Q16. On the other hand, the EBITDA ramp-up due to the OLOS tenants increase goes from 0.4% in 2Q15 to 3.7% in 3Q16, and it depends on the commercial efforts made for both traditional and new services. Finally, you can see on this chart how the EBITDA margin is highly correlated to the tenancy ratio. On slide 14, you can find a drill down of the quarterly net income of 25.1 million euro that grew by 15.7% when compared with the 3Q15. This increase mainly comes from a 5.1% increase in revenues and a 3.2% decrease in operating expenses, leading to a 49.7% EBITDA margin. Moreover, in the quarter, net income was impacted by a D&A at 3.3 million euro compared with 2.8 million euro in the 3Q15. The increase was mainly due to the accelerated depreciation of sites being dismantled. As a matter of fact, we reduced the useful life of assets being dismantled in order to complete the depreciation within year end, spreading the effect of a write-off over the entire fiscal year. The write-off you see referred to some sites we dismantled in advance versus what we had planned. Our EBIT margin amounted to 45%, a best-in-class rate. Taxes amounted to 12 million euro, while interest charges equal 0.9 million euro, of which 0.55 million euro of cash financial charges and 0.38 million euro of non-cash interest, mainly on Eurofund. Net income for the third quarter of 2016 stood at 25.1 million euro, equal to a 16.7 euro cent per share on an annual basis, increasing by 15.7% versus 3Q15. Now, let me show you the cash flow as of September 30th, 2016. We are on slide 15. The CapEx rollout is in line with our investment plan. For this 9-month period, we spent 29.9 million euro split among different investments. In detail, 18.6 million euro spent on land acquisition, on ground rooftops long-term right of usage, on new sites and on new businesses such as small cells. 3 million euro on maintenance, part of the 9 million euro allocated for the full year. 8.3 million on the Brescia acquisition. During these 9 months, our 99.8 million euro of EBITDA minus CapEx, net of Brescia investments, lead to a 82% cash conversion. Moreover, we reported a 7.2 million euro variation of net working capital. Then you can see our 39.2 million taxes cash out. Let me remind you that last year we didn't pay any cash taxes being a new incorporated company. Hence, this year in June we had to pay both taxes for 2015 and the first tranche of 2016. Please note that the second tranche of 2016 taxes to be paid in the fourth quarter will amount to about 17 million euro. All in all, we delivered a positive cash flow to equity amounting to 43.8 million euro. On slide 16, we provide an overview of our consolidated balance sheet at September 30th, 2016, including the Brescia company's contribution. Net debt amounted to 60.9 million euro, improving 21.4 million compared with the previous quarter. Now this situation leads to a net debt on an annualized EBITDA ratio of about 0.4 times. Lastly, the fully distributable reserves at quarter end equaled 740 million euro, which correspond to about 1.2 euro per share. Thank you very much. To you, Michele.
I take the word. This is Oscar speaking. We received some SMS from some of you, and we realized that due to the technical problem on my micro, what we were saying on the first two slides of my presentation, slide 5 and slide 6, has not been so clear. And so I want just to recap very, very quickly the key messages in those two slides. In the slide number 5, I was talking about our revenue growth. Here we are delivering what we promised. We had, let's say, an increase of revenues that comes mainly from the new sites that gave us a contribution of 0.7 million and the revenues from other operator that gave us 19.9 million euros of revenues in the quarter. You can see in the slide the comparison with the previous quarter and with the average quarter of 2014. A clear message here is that the revenues coming from the MSA with TIM are flat because the escalator will be factored in from 2017 onwards. In slide number 6, I was talking about the two drivers of the revenue growth, new tenants and new sites. In this quarter, we added 500 new tenants, 200 with an IoT operator, and 300 from mobile operators and wireless local loop operators. So we reached a co-tenancy of 1.7, that compares with the initial 1.55 and allow us to confirm our target of 1.9 for the end of 2018. On the right side of the slide, I was talking about new sites. We have 87 sites up and running, and if we consider what will going on in the next months, we can say, if we consider the target of 500 new sites, we have 230 sites that have been already requested by TIM. So all in all, in the 9 months of 2016, we added 1.1 thousand additional tenants. 600 refers to the MSA, so to the has been contractualized in this contract with TIM, and this is in line with the annual target. We have 300 new tenants besides those contractualized, and 200 tenants that are related to an IoT player. So here, in the commercial activities, we are, let's say, more than on track with our plan. Sorry for the technical problem that we had with my micro, and now I give the word back to Michele.
Yes, Oscar, Rafael, thank you. Now we can open the Q&A session.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by 1. To cancel reservation, dial star followed by 2. Thank you. First today's question comes from Mr. Albert Prangier of Kempen. Mr. Prangier, please.
Thank you. Gentlemen, congratulations on the nice results. I have a small question to actually with regards to the planning. You indicate that you're already at 56% of the target of the additional sites. Did you experience a pickup in the number of requests TIM is making at the moment? Then onto the remote units of small cells. I can remember if we compare the graphs you presented during this presentation and the one at your H1 results, that I noticed that you plan to do or to spend more CapEx on remote units during 2017 than initially was the case. Did you change anything to the planning?
For the first question, yes, we experienced a peak in the TIM request because TIM launched its new plan, and taking into account that the construction of new sites is a long-lasting process because we have to look for the site, reach the agreement with the landowners, with the landlords, then construct the site and to deliver it. So the 230 new sites requested by TIM could be considered the first peak of the request. So we confirm, even thanks to this, let's say, first peak, we can confirm the 500 sites, the 500 build-to-suit opportunities in the 3-year, in the 3-year time frame. About the small cell, as we said, in order to reach our ambitious goal of 4,000 remote unit, we did different things. The first is that we added to our service portfolio the exclusive small cell. So we are ready to provide our customer with exclusive small cell for their coverage issues. This, of course, refers to TIM, but also to the other operators. To that extent, if you can see, let's say, the qualitative trend of the investment that we are forecasting on the 3 years is in the bottom of slide number 9. Of course, we start in 2016. We are in the first phase of the acceleration. So the acceleration will materialize in 2017 and 2018. The numbers of investment, CapEx per unit, continue to be what we described in our presentation.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Just a small elaboration. If you then look at the total amount of CapEx you spent during Q3, which was roughly 30 million, can we expect a similar amount to be spent during Q4? Thank you.
Sorry, I was answering with the micro switched off. This is not a technical problem. It was simply up to me. No, I was telling you that in the Q4 we expect a slight increase in the total CapEx.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Next question comes from Mr. Simon Coates of Barclays. Mr. Coates, please.
Hi, thank you for taking the questions. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Crown Castle's acquisition of fiber yesterday, and if you feel that vindicates your fiber plans going forwards. And then, roughly how long do you expect the new business model plans to move from the negotiation stage to actual construction and then contributing to revenue? So I see you're quite far along with new sites, but fiber is only at, say, 10%. Thank you.
This is a very good question, because of course the what this is the second deal that Crown Castle has done with reference to the fiber backhauling. It's clear that one of the crucial components of the small cell as a service business model is given by the availability of fiber backhauling. So to that extent, I would say that this confirms that we are in the right track. So we do believe that a bundled offer of traditional hosting services plus fiber backhauling plus micro coverage could receive an increasing interest from our client. But I have to remind you that considering our fiber backhauling business, we have to start from the current situation. 66% of our sites have already fiber backhauling already built up by TIM and provided by TIM to the other operator. So what we are focusing is on the remaining, 4,000 sites, where we do believe that first there is no fiber backhauling, and so here we see an opportunity. And if you consider the announcement that all the mobile operators are making on the LTE coverage, there is a sort of auction, to say 99%, 98%, and so on, we could expect that a lot of sites will have in the near future the availability of the 4G. The 4G without fiber backhauling is an oxymoron.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Riccardo Boada of Morgan Stanley. Mr. Boada, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I was following up on my colleague from Barclays. The Crown Castle acquisition, I mean, I think it's very interesting. Do you think that the model here in Italy could evolve from a pricing per small cell or per remote unit towards more like a U.S. model, which is more based on a pricing of per mile of fiber? And secondly, can you provide a quick update on the on how the Andrew affiliate is going, and how are conversations with management evolving?
Thanks for the very interesting questions. The first is very simple. My feeling is that in Italy, as well as in the other European countries, the current price schemes that are very, very well known in the market, that is price per remote unit, could change, but not worse, let's say, versus the per mile of fiber, but more per location. So it's clear that when we deal with the micro coverage project with our customer, usually the number of remote units is not the, let's say, the key value driver, the key value proposition of our offer. If they look at an hospital, a stadium, a university campus, they want simply a better coverage and a better service in this location. My feeling is that the price scheme will evolve from the price per remote unit towards the price per location, not per let's say the length of fiber. The second is about Iliad. No news. I continue to believe that Iliad will be launching its service with a typical, let's say, mobile virtual approach. But of course, if we stay to what they are saying, they could be interested in deploying their own network. So for this reason, we continue to see Iliad as an opportunity for all the tower industry, the young tower industry in Italy.
Can I do a quick follow up on this Crown Castle expansion into Fiverr? What is the Fiverr landscape in Italy? Is it all dominated by the telcos? Is there like any opportunity that you could be looking at, or any potential target that you could be looking to acquire?
No, I do believe that there are no, let's say, assets that could be similar to the Fibernet that the recent acquisition of Crown Castle. In Italy, the fiber market is mainly owned by the telcos. There are some interesting utilities that have some specific assets. We do believe that, considering all the projects for fiber rollout, we will be looking, for the last mile of fiber. So I think that is more interesting looking for a metropolitan area network than the typical Fibernet, asset portfolio that include also the long distance.
And could you be looking to roll out the fiber yourselves in one of these locations, let's say in an airport or in a hospital, or is it too capital intensive for you?
No, this question refers mainly to the micro coverage. So in the micro coverage, usually we have different situation. Many ways we find already existing internal fiber connection that have been previously built up for the LAN, for the local area network of the location owners. And so we usually, in this case, we have an agreement. We rent some fiber from the location owner, or if they do not have availability, we use their facility and we put our fiber inside the location. I think that we have different possibilities, and in any case, we have different approaches. In general, we prefer to have our own fiber. But of course, if there are fiber that are already available, of course, we will be using them.
Okay, thanks so much.
Next question comes from Mr. Fabio Pavan of Mediobanca. Mr. Pavan, please.
Yes, hi, and again, congratulations for results. I would like to focus again on small cells. I think it's fair to say that the number of contracts, apparently, if I got your information properly, is increasing, and also we were talking about the first contracts a few months ago. So my question is, how your clients are perceiving this incremental service as a good one? Are they happy about the service? Are you experiencing any change in the, competition field? So there are other operators offering the service, or are still benefiting from being the first mover on this kind of market?
Fabio, perhaps it's too early to have a complete framework of the competitive scenario. I can confirm that we see on the market competition coming from different players. The first competitor, usually, as I was telling you, are the mobile operator that tend to deploy their small cell coverage autonomously and on an exclusive basis. If we look at the main locations, I can confirm that the location owners are very, very sensitive and reactive to the proposal of improving the services in their location. And so for these reasons, this is a good signal. Whenever we have meetings with hospitals, with universities, we find a big interest in improving the service. So for these reasons, and again, when we talk with the operator, in the back-to-back approach, of course, the operator are willing to improve their service and to save cost by sharing the micro coverage infrastructure and services. So the good signals that we have been talking about in the previous calls are confirmed. Now, of course, the acceleration that we included in our plan is material, and so for these reasons I wanted to give you the first colors, just to tell you that it seems that we could be able to deliver those targets. But of course we are at the starting point of this process. Don't forget that till the first quarter of this year we were targeting just 1,000 remote unit. Now we are targeting 4,000 remote units. So we continue to be in the first phase, but the signal seems to be good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Jim Ratzer of New Street Research. Mr. Ratzer, please.
Yes, good evening. Thank you very much for taking the question. Had two questions, please. The first one was just regarding the strong growth you've seen in the OLO tenancies. I mean, that looks like it's up 17% year-on-year, the kind of take-up. You've seen an accelerating take-up from the second quarter, but yet the revenue growth in the third quarter hasn't picked up by quite as much. So I was wondering, is this you're getting lower ARPUs from IoT clients, or is it that actually clients signed at the very end of the quarter, and so we could actually see further revenue acceleration to come in the fourth quarter? And then the second question I had, just again going back to small cells, but really a point of clarity, on slide 9 you are saying 25% of the project is in progress. Just to clarify, does that mean you have had now active demand for 1,000 remote units already from the carriers? Thank you.
Thank you. Of course, the growth that we have been experiencing in the OLOS revenues in this quarter is something that is very interesting. I do believe that the acceleration that we have this quarter belongs to this quarter, so it's difficult to say what we will be doing in the fourth. I mentioned that in this quarter we have, let's say, an episode that is important, that is the addition of 200 IoT, let's say, hospitality hosting contracts. I cannot say what's going on in the fourth quarter. In few words, I do believe that the trend is good. Perhaps the fourth quarter will be more in line with the previous ones than with the third. But of course, we are better than expected, than expectation in this growth, and we are happy about it. I do believe that all in all, we could have different quarters. The dynamics of revenues in the different quarters could be different.
And Oscar, are those IoT tenants coming on at a similar tenancy payment to the other OLOs, or are they coming on at lower ARPUs?
Absolutely lower. Absolutely lower.
Okay.
Please take into account that an IoT equipment is very, very small, low power consumption. So the price scheme is completely different.
Okay, clear.
So in terms of, you have seen from the numbers that we can confirm the targets that we have already communicated. So the second question is about the small cell. Yes, here we have the demand for small cell. Of course, as I was telling you in our second quarter presentation, the main driver of this acceleration is the requests that we expect to come from TIM. But as usual, the small cell could be for TIM, could be for the other operator, could be exclusive, and could be shared among the operators. As a matter of fact, we have already received 1,000 requests for small cell coverage.
Great, thank you, that's clear, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Mark Murphy of Macquarie. Mr. Murphy, please.
Hi, good evening. Yeah, thanks for the question. Look, just two pretty simple questions. In terms of the EM limits, we were hoping for some guidance from government on increasing the Italian limits more towards the European levels by year-end 16. Is there any color on that? We've had nothing yet. Maybe it's a post-referendum event. And then secondly, on Vodafone, I was wondering if there's any change in Vodafone's approach to tower leasing. I know they typically don't like to share towers, and have you noticed any change in what they're thinking in terms of their network strategy initially?
Let me start from the second question because it's the simplest one. No, Vodafone didn't change its mind yet. So I think this is the this is what we have in front of us. About the electromagnetic limits, there is a never-ending story because as I was telling you in our previous conversation, we were expecting some, let's say, news from the update of recommendation that we're expecting to come from the OMS and the ECNRPP, that is at the mandate from the European Commission. They had forecasted, let's say, a venue in South Africa in June. This venue took place, but they have not been able to deliver the expected amendment, the expected, let's say, adjustment on the recommendation. The next venue, if you have a look at even at their website, they say that the venue has been postponed and is not expected within 2016. So this means that whatever we can get from this, it could be in the next year. They confirm that they are updating those recommendations. They confirm that they want to deliver those new numbers for the electromagnetic emission, but the time frame is that they could come out with the news, let's say, in the first half of 2017. I confirm that with this update, should they come out with this update, it could be easier for the Italian government to speed up the process and to do exactly what the other countries did in 1998. So simply adopting those new recommendations without any additional, let's say, analysis and so on. If we take into account that the current government already stated that they want to change, we feel comfortable that should these opportunities really come out, they could be in condition to take it and to change. But that's it. We continue to monitor very carefully the situation because, as you are aware, this is a relevant upside for us. But no news, simply that the update and recommendation is expected. It will not take place within this year, continue to be expected for the first half of 2017.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Jonathan Dunn of Royal Bank of Canada. Mr. Dunn, please.
Hi there. Two questions. On the 300 wireless local loop and MNOs that customers added. Could you break those down between wireless local loop and MNOs? And I think in the second quarter you mentioned it was 100 split 80-20. Is the 300 purely incremental in the third quarter, or is that cumulative? And then secondly, sorry, the line was foggy. I missed how many sites you've acquired in the quarter. Or the ground leases that you'd acquired.
Okay. So the majority of the new contract with OLOS is with wireless local loop operators, and the minority with the other operators. The reason is very simple. Now we are excluding from the mobile operator Vodafone, because it's included in the sharing agreement for the small cities. And of course, Wind and Dutch are practically excluded because they are working on the integration plan. Iliad is not yet here, so I think that the interest from the mobile network operator is lower than what we were expecting. On the other hand, the wireless local loop operator are going through ambitious projects for expanding their coverage in the let's say failure market areas, as well as in the cities, and so this is driving the growth in the tenants contract that we showed in the slide. The ground lease acquisition this quarter has been 100. So here we can show a pace that is 100 acquisition per quarter. Here when we say 100, these of course include land acquisition and long-term right of usage for rooftop.
Can I ask a follow-on? In terms of the build-to-suit for Telecom Italia, have you started negotiations with Vodafone as a second potential tenant? I guess would those be outside of the existing MSA?
Absolutely, yes. As soon as we receive a request and we start to look for the places, for the locations, we immediately look for additional tenants on the sites that we are going to build up. And of course,
excellent. Thank you.
And of course, Dan, this does not refer only to Vodafone, but even to the other carriers.
Excellent. Thank you.
Last question comes from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Mr. Ghilotti, please.
Good afternoon. A few questions. I would start with just a check on the possibility for TIM to deploy its own small cell services, or if you are the exclusive provider of the service, because I understood that you were talking about, say, the willingness for MNOs to deploy their own services. And second question, you are referring clearly, so the demand for new sites and for small cells is driven by TIM. I'm trying to understand, so if you can elaborate on your previous answer, what is the attitude for other MNOs to ask for say new hosting service in these new sites? So if you have already an idea of what can be the tenancy ratio after, let's say, 12 months after you have built your new sites, for example. And third question is on the Internet of Things, IoT player that you are seeing quite active and as new tenants. Could you share with us some color on what is the basic business proposition offered from your clients? And last, just a check on a previous comment about the volatility that you can see from one quarter to another. I wanted to check if it was related to third-party revenues, and in this case, what is the, if you can elaborate on what is driving this volatility. Thank you.
So, a lot of questions.
Sorry.
No. Let's try to not forget anything. So, new sites. Of course, the request that we receive from our main customer team are related to their need to densify the coverage. So for this reason, I do believe that, of course, when an operator demand the new sites, of course, this belong to its radio planning activity, and they look for exactly the position, the areas where they feel to have problems, either in terms of coverage or in terms of, let's say, of traffic. Having said that, usually we can find, let's say, that those sites, it depends, of course, but can have, let's say, we receive, let's say, interest from the other operators in order to be hosted on those new sites that we will be building up. In principle, if we look at what happened in the past with the new sites that we have been building up in the past quarters, we have been able to start with an initial co-tenancy of 1.2. And of course, we consider, always in principle, that this is, if this is the first step, so if we can start from 1.2, of course, our target could be to reach in the long term a potential of 1.6.
Okay.
The second question is the interest of other MNOs on new sites and on small cell. On new sites, of course, it depends on their radio plans. On small cell, I can witness that the main two operators are always interested. It's difficult that we build up, let's say, a micro coverage plant, a micro coverage equipment, and we do not receive interest from TIM and Vodafone. The third, fourth, that now are just one, I think for the time being could be distracted by their main process of network integration. But in general, in several of our, let's say, distributed antenna system, we have also Wind as the third customer. But in general, it's very, very easy to get TIM and Vodafone, and is more difficult to get also the third and fourth operator. I cannot elaborate on IoT because, of course, we have also confidentiality agreement with them. As you know, that they refer to the, let's say, installation of a capillary network coverage based on unlicensed frequency, and to launch services with sensor and solution platform. I cannot elaborate on what they are doing, even taking into account that I don't know exactly their plan. I simply know that they have been asking for hosting services on my sites, and I have been very, very happy to provide them with our services. The volatility I was talking about is simply due not to the volatility in terms of, let's say, minus and plus. I was simply saying that the overperformance of this quarter could also not be replicated in the fourth quarter, but in terms of growth, of course.
And what is, let's say, what was driving the overperformance of the particular strong quarter? So I didn't catch the point when you were
exactly the number of tenants. So if you look at the number of tenants that we totaled in the different quarter of this year, we had a peak in the third quarter. Of course, we would be very happy to have the same peak, but it's something that we have we have first to execute before saying.
Okay, very clear. And going back to my previous question, just to be sure, so are you the exclusive provider for small cell team, or?
Yeah, I was forgetting this point. So, let me say what we did in our budget exercise. So, we have been informed that TIM was launching a very, very aggressive plan for both macro and micro coverage on their mobile network. So, taking into account that we are the privileged supplier of TIM for both traditional and new services, what we did is, okay, we should be able to deliver the majority of the services that will require infrastructure. So for these reasons, we say that the majority of the small cell put in place by TIM should be delivered in terms of infrastructure and services by INWIT. We do not exclude, and the number of 4,000 also take into account this possibility, that TIM will be deploying autonomously some micro coverage project. This, of course, will be sure. The problem is that we have, let's say, this contracted privileged supplier role, and for these reasons, whenever TIM needs a new service, they have first to ask INWIT for this new service. Another point is that, as I was telling you, in all our investment, we adopted a very, very strict policy of a double-digit IRR. So we will be building up macro sites, backhauling, micro cells, only if we were able to deliver, let's say, this kind of target in terms of IRR. For these reasons, I continue to believe that a number of small cell will be deployed autonomously by TIM. I don't know if it's
okay.
Clear.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you, Domenico. Thank you all for joining us and for your interest in our conference call. This was our last question. So, as you have seen, we presented another good set of results, confirming once again our double-digit trajectory on our main metrics, as well as the positive deployment of our business acceleration plan. I hope you appreciate our result. As usual, you should need to analyze any of the items in more detail. Please feel free to contact us.
Thank you, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.